our own selves. So this morning, I want to kind of try to do two things at the same time, and I don't know just how possible it is, although I have things in front of me that say that it is possible. I want to make sure that I honor what we are here today celebrating and what this day means for us all. When I think about Palm Sunday and I think about Easter Sunday, I can't help but know that these are those two Sundays inside of that season on the Christian calendar where there is for each and every one of us, or at least ought to be, this anticipation. I don't necessarily know that I can, for you, put my finger on what the anticipation is about or where the anticipation stems from, but I believe that there is an anticipation. Everybody that I know who is a believer in Jesus Christ looks forward to Easter Sunday. And if you grew up in any tradition akin to the black church, Easter Sunday was a big deal, right? You got at least some new socks on Easter Sunday, if not a whole new outfit, and you made sure that you did some stuff. I remember me and my boys would go through the neighborhood with our Easter suits on, and had you made sure you had your handkerchief folded just right. But really, back then, it was the kind where you just kind of just did it like that and threw it in because you wanted it to look like a flower. And we would find the flyest cars in the neighborhood, weren't necessarily belonging to anybody in our family. But we would find the cars on the street and we would all just strike our several poses wherever they were going to be around the cars, take the pictures just looking good. There was something about Easter that just made all of us anticipate that something is about to happen. And I need to confess right here at the beginning that as I was growing up and going to church on Easter Sunday, I had really not an understanding of what it was I was celebrating. For me, Easter was like Christmas in springtime. Not only was I going to get some new clothes, but I knew that when I got home, there was going to be a basket with some stuff in it just for me. That dinner on Easter was going to be different than dinner was the Sunday before or the Sunday after. So there was this anticipation that came with Easter. And so as I've gotten older, and as I've gotten more mature as a believer, and as I become a leader in a local church who's had as part of his responsibility to preach Palm Sunday after Palm Sunday and Easter after Easter, I need to again confess. They say confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation, but good for the soul. I have to confess that sometimes it's been difficult coming and saying, okay, let me say something new. Why? Because I think the thing that I was trying to do is simply get across the very thing that I don't need to say in a new way, that we ought to understand that there ought to be in each and every one of our lives an excitement about this time. Because we understand what this means for all of us. I'm going to read this so we can get to this text that is familiar to all of us, but I want to read it from the geriatric version of the Bible. That means my super giant print version for all of those who don't understand. Amen. If you don't understand, take your glasses off and try to read it. Amen. The English Standard Version of the Bible, chapter 21, the Gospel according to Matthew. Beginning at verse number 1, and I'm going to read through verse number 11. This is probably not unfamiliar to anyone who's been in church on this particular Sunday, meaning Palm Sunday, ever before in your life. Beginning at verse number 1, and it says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem
and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Now, I want to talk this morning about being on the cusp of a new thing. But when I read that, and I think about what we do on this Sunday, and everybody who desires, as you leave today, will have placed in your hands some of these fronds from a palm branch, because this is Palm Sunday. And we do that to memorialize, we do that to commemorate, we do that to remember that Sunday that we have just read about in the text, where everybody who saw him, and the picture that came to my mind as I began to think about this and read that text over and again this year, was that everybody loves a parade. And I can only imagine the excitement, because you need to understand that the Passover is drawing near, and there are disciples of Judaism coming from near and far, making their way on what was mandated to be their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And at the same time, Jesus and his disciples are making their way there. Now, Jesus has garnered for himself in 3 short years a reputation beyond anybody else his age or at that time. And so when folk hear that Jesus is coming, people begin to gather because everybody wants to see. We know there are some in the crowd who are saying, "Who is this?" And others, I can just look at them in my mind and know that they'll look at them like, "Are you crazy? You don't know who this is? This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the man. This is the one that you heard about. Have you not heard the stories?" And as Jesus comes in, I can only imagine what's going through the minds of every individual in the crowd, wondering, is now the time, as we hear his disciples ask him in the book of Acts, is now the time that God is going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? Is now the time that Rome is going to get their comeuppance for how they've treated us for all these many years? Is now the time that you, our God, are going to deliver us finally? There are others who are saying, is now the time that all the stuff I've been praying for I am going to get? Is now the time that my healing is going to come my way? Is now the time, the breakthrough that I have been beseeching God for, now that God is here with us? Is now the time? And I know what happens in the lives of people when they find themselves on the cusp of a new thing, something that I've been waiting for. We want to throw a party. Come on, y'all.
We were just talking last week as we were watching the season finale of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Don't judge us. Don't judge. Because soon as I start talking about what happens, some of y'all going to be like nodding your head. Yep, because you was watching too. I know, right? And they were doing this gender reveal. We got two kids. One will be 21. The other just turned 24. Here's what gender reveal looked like. Y'all know if y'all having a girl or a boy. Nope. We'll find out when they get here. Or my wife said, I know, but my husband doesn't want to know, so I ain't telling nobody. Right? Didn't diminish our excitement. But now, literally, in anticipation of what's about to happen, we throw a party and invite everybody to come to the party. Why? Because I want you to know what I know. I want you to feel what I feel. I want to share with you what is burning in my heart, that something good is about to happen. Hey, I'm about to get married. Let's throw a party. I'm about to finish this book. Let me throw a party. We throw a party to launch everything. Tell the truth. That's what this was. Everybody anticipating what is about to happen. Everybody having a different understanding or a different mind about what God is about to do in their midst. They all come together, whether they agree or disagree for what God is about to do. They all come together to celebrate. And this is a time in the church. This is a time for all who believe. This is a time for celebration. But, and this is where we get to where we ought to be today. I'm going to start, as we get to these points, by saying this. We should embrace the excitement that comes with the promise of something new, while not losing sight of the path that lies ahead. This was an exciting day. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who represents King David. Hosanna, blessed are you. Hosanna, I am celebrating. But remember, we are on the cusp of something new. So I had to, or thought it might be wise to define that word, cusp. And I took this from Merriam-Webster. Cusp, point, apex, such as a point of transition from one historical period. Cusp, turning point, cusp, also edge. Verge. We are on the edge of something new. We are on the verge of something new. We are at the turning point. They had a picture of a cornice that would be on the corner of a building, and it was ornate, and they went right to the very point where it begins to turn and curve back into itself, and they used that apex, that point, and said, that's the cusp, because it's been going here, but you can see right here that it's about to go in another direction. Cusp. And there are those of us right here, and watch this, even on Palm Sunday, who at some place in our lives, and I'm going to talk about where I hope that is in just a moment, ought to find ourselves on the cusp of something new. We've been talking for the last month plus about finding our personal calling, our personal sweet spot. What does being and doing and going look like for me as a believer in Jesus Christ? And it is my earnest prayer that at least one of us in here finds ourselves excited, because my mind's eye has been opened in a way that it had not been before about all the possibility that God may have for me in store in my life. I am on the cusp of something new. These folk came to Jerusalem. I can only imagine that for some, this is an annual trek. And y'all know, because there are those of us who, if we were honest with ourselves, would have to confess that we make a weekly trek to church. And if we're not careful, coming to church every Sunday, even knowing whose presence we're coming to celebrate, even knowing that we're coming and why we're coming and where we're coming to, if we're not careful, this annual trek can lose both its excitement and its significance. So I can only imagine that for these pilgrims of Judaism who were coming from far and wide, making this annual trek into Jerusalem, for some of them, it had lost its luster. And watch this, it was just something they were doing to check it off their list. But this year, how many of y'all have never missed a homecoming since you graduated from college? Raise your hand. And let me say it this way, and you graduated more than a year ago. I ain't never missed one, only had one, but ain't never missed one, right? Now, how many of you, if they told you that the artist that you have been waiting to see all your life was headlining homecoming, and you had a front row seat, how many of you would guarantee you'd be at homecoming that year? Yeah, right? That's what I imagine this is like. I've been coming, making this trek to Jerusalem for Passover every year for I don't know how long, but this year I've heard this grumbling in the neighborhood. I've heard this murmuring going on throughout the region, and that this year maybe somebody gonna show up that I've only heard about. And so I'm doing everything I can to get there. And y'all know how folk are when they think somebody good about to come by. Everybody gets up early. They're going to line the parade route early. This is not like the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. This is Jesus making his way into Jerusalem. There are folk there just wanting to see him. I slept here all night long because I know that this is going to guarantee me the best seat, because I just think that if I just see him, that something in my life might change. First point. The cusp of a new thing is an exciting time. Why do I start here? Because there will be people in our lives who hear what has just been illumined for us. The light has gone on. Our eyes have been opened. I realized something that maybe in your mind I should have realized a long time ago, but I realize it now for the first time, or it's been reintroduced to me for the first time in a long time, and somebody gonna try to throw water on your excitement. Are you just finding that out? You should have been known that. So what you gonna do? You still, right? The cusp of a new thing is an exciting time. I've had the opportunity since we've been talking about this whole thing going back to Acorn, but recently dealing with
finding my sweet spot and living in that place where I can feel like there is less friction and God is multiplying the activity that I'm doing because I'm living out of who He has uniquely created me to be. I've had a couple of conversations with folk who can tell me they are living right there in that place, and then others who have said, I am doggedly determined that I want to seek out that place and what it looks like for me in their lives. And can I tell you that for both ends of that spectrum, I have been excited because for them, it's a time to be able to say, yes, I am currently affirmed that I am sitting right where God wants me to sit, or no matter where I am right now, I know that God has put something in me and I'm on a journey now to find that out. The cusp of a new thing is an exciting time. These folk were excited, didn't know, is he really? Who this? This is Jesus. But recognize this Jesus, this Mary boy Jesus? Yes, that Jesus. From 39th Street, Jesus? Yes. 39th Street, that one. That Jesus. This is him. Why is it an exciting time? The cusp of a new thing is an exciting time because it's a time when we can imagine promises fulfilled. It's an exciting time because it's a time when we can imagine that our potential is going to be realized, that our ruts are going to be ended, that our goals are going to be achieved, that our wishes are going to come true. The cusp of a new thing ought to build in us an excitement because it lets me know for absolute sure that God created me with and for a purpose. I ain't no accident. When God created me as unique as I am, as frustrating as I and this flesh I inhabit may be for me from time to time, as difficult as the journey that I have had laid out in front of me by God may get from time to time, God did this. Come on. When you wake up tomorrow morning, here's what I want you to do. Before you wipe the sleep out the corner of your eyes, before you take care of the dragon that is now living in your mouth, I want you to go to the mirror, look at what's looking back at you, and just say, God did this, right? But I don't want you to just say, you need to say it like you mean it. I mean, you need to look at it and say like, God did this. Because he did. And that's what makes this an exciting thing. And watch this, not only that, but here's the other thing that comes alongside with you looking at what you see, looking back at you in the mirror and saying, God did this. You also need to understand that the fact that you woke up that morning, could swing your legs across the bed, stand up by your own strength and power, walk your way to the mirror, your eyes open, but they are not blinded. You look at something that can look back at you. You ought to be able to say it with even more fervor, God did this. Not only did he create me in his image and likeness, but God also gave me the strength and another opportunity to find myself to where he is. I am unique in my ability to fill the spots or roles that God has designed for me. That's why it's exciting. The world needs what's in me. The world needs what I have. The world needs my unique self to be my most unique self and use everything that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to hone in me for his glory. God wants to walk with me intimately as I discover my place. Now, y'all, maybe that doesn't excite you. That's fine. So then I have another question. Why not? If that excites you, good, because we can work with that from there. But if it doesn't, then we have to begin to reckon with, why is it
that I can look at what God has done, what God has created, what God, when he created, he said, it is very good. And I cannot be excited about the potential that God has placed in me. Second point, I'm almost out your hair. Remember, the cusp of a new thing is an exciting time. Palm Sunday had to be exciting. Every time I think about it using my contemporary mind, there's so many different contemporary examples of what it had to have been like being there. And I just think of the biggest parade and fair that I could ever imagine. But we need to understand that the cusp isn't the end. Amen. Now here's the problem. Most of us are good at getting excited, right? Let's tell the truth. Most of us love, God shows you something about you and or your life, and you are brimming with excitement. Oh, that is a God thing right there. I can see it, God, but it's not the end. Amen. Most of us are good at throwing a party or a parade. Most of us are good at logos and t-shirts and taglines. We got all of that down, but the cusp is not the end. If you can put the definition of cusp back on there. Point, apex, such as a point of transition from one historical period, a turning point, the edge, the verge. It ain't the end. It allows me to see what it is that may be ahead of me. It allows me the understanding of what may be inside of me. It gives me a glimpse at what it might be so that I might be excited enough about what may happen that I won't quit, that I'll press further into it. But it's not the end. I gotta wonder, what's going through the minds of the disciples? They roll up on Jerusalem. And as they're entering, they see this. Oh, I can tell you, I wasn't there. Surprise, surprise. I wasn't there, but my chest fills with pride for what had to have been going through their minds. That's right, we with him. Yes, that's our rabbi. Yes, that's our master. Watch this. Cleared away, Jesus coming through. Cleared away, Jesus coming through. Cleared away, Jesus coming through. Jesus, you need anything? Yes, yes, clear. No. I'm going to lead the colt. I'm leading the colt. Jesus coming in. Peter, you go over there and you do that. But I'm going to get this right here. And John right by his side. And Judas saying, why he get to stand right there? One in every crowd. I can only imagine, but even, no, more so in their minds should have been an understanding that the triumphal entry is not the end. Jesus didn't come to be the centerpiece of a parade. Jesus didn't show them all that he showed them so that they could believe that when he fulfilled prophecy by riding into Jerusalem in the way that he did, that this was the end. This is just the turning point. This is the verge. This says to us, we're almost home. This says we're almost there. This says we have almost arrived. This says that we've come away, but we're almost not yet, because we still have some stuff to go. And like I said, most of us are good at throwing the party and getting excited. I used to run track. And the thing that our coach told us time and again was that you run through the tape. You don't run to the tape. You run through the tape. I got a video I want to show you of what happens when you celebrate
too soon. Now, come on. He asked for it, though. I mean, I can only just think about it in the context of what we're talking about right now, even treating the triumphal entry. My man, listen, folk lining the road. Ain't nobody around but me. It's time to celebrate. I throw my hands up. The finish line is in sight, but I've not yet crossed it. And it seems like the first trick everybody who rides a bike learns to do is to ride with no hands, but I guess not. Because no sooner than he throws his hands up, he falls, and the person behind him wins the race. Can I tell you, I had like 15 videos just like that to show. All you got to do is go on YouTube and put in "celebrate too soon." And there are a ton of them. People on running marathons who get there. There's this one. I just got to tell you this one. The video did not come through, but I got to tell you this one. There's this one of these two women in Barbados running a marathon, and they want to come to the finish line, right? And they want to cross together. So they are coming to the finish line, and the finish line is about right at that third pew. And so they get about right here, and they hold one another's hands, and they start waving. And this sister is about right there, and she sees them waving, and as they're doing like this, she's sprinting. And they get about right here and see her, and they're like, they even try to hold her back. But she winds up winning. The cusp is not the end. Let me show you this. This had to have been or should have been in the minds of the disciples. Matthew chapter number 16, beginning at verse number 21. This is as they are on their way. From that time, it says, chapter 16, Matthew's gospel, beginning at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now watch the response. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Let me say that again. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen." Always a mistake when the student tries to rebuke the teacher. You can try, but you better be right. Because verse 23, Jesus turns back to Peter. Now, "Get thee behind me, Peter." Oh, no, wait, that's not what he said. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." That's one. Chapter 17, verse 22. "As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.' And they were greatly distressed." Chapter 20, verse number 17. "And Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day.'" If anybody should have known, it should have been those who had been rocking with Jesus for 3 years, that this parade, as exciting a time as this is, because this is only a glimpse of what it is going to be. This is telling us what is coming. This is an exciting time, but there's still something else coming. Last point. when the parade is over, you've got to do the work. Because the cusp isn't the end. It's the verge. It's the edge. For some of us, it's the point of transition. I pray that in someone's mind in the last month and a half, you have made a decision to do some things differently because you want to live where God wants you to be. That you want to fully actualize who He has called and created you to be uniquely in yourself. When the triumphal entry was over, Jesus worked instead of resting. The very first thing, and I don't have a verse for this on the screen, but if you look on your own at the very next verse, chapter number 21, verse number 12, as soon as the parade is over, the very next thing we see is Jesus doing work. Jesus cleaning the temple, Jesus teaching some more. Jesus says there is still some left to do because I didn't come for the parade. Ultimately, I came to fulfill the will of my Father. Watch this. Jesus understood his be, his do, and his go. Can't nobody else go to Calvary but me. I'm the only one uniquely fit for that and all this other stuff. Yes, as exciting as it is, it's only a turning point for all humanity in this case. Why? Because I got something in me that everybody else needs. What is that for you? That's the question God wants us all not just to wrestle with, but to excitedly pour over again and again, because there's something about you. Every time I watch, and this morning as they sang and played, I thank God for every voice that stands here in front of us. I thank God for every gift that plays on this side of the platform, that they have found those things that God has placed in them that we need to encourage us, that we need to inform us, that we need to unite us and bring us along as we are worshiping God together. They have a gift that I don't have, and God did that. And we ought to be as excited for them as they are for themselves. But what about you? The work's not over. I believe that there are those here who still, if we were to ask ourselves, so what do I need to do? How can I do this? I want to stop and say, remember, God is less concerned about you doing the work for him than he is in you being in relationship with him. In fact, the work I do for God is an extension of, or the overflowing, the outworking of my relationship with him. So if we talk about work yet to be done, let's talk about meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. Let's talk about those spiritual disciplines that we know work inwardly on my relationship with God so that I am in this unbroken fellowship, unbridled communion with him, that he and I are indistinguishable from one another, that I recognize his voice even when he whispers. Because if I can get that, then the other things begin to make sense, because if I start assessing and committing and organizing and reflecting and navigating without having worked on my individual relationship with God, then I am doing a secular exercise to help myself rather than helping myself be more like God so that he can use the unique him that he placed in me for his glory. And all of this is supposed to be done inside a faithful, biblical community of believers. I don't try to do this on my own.
But I surround myself with folk who are on the same journey so that we can encourage one another. I see you where you're growing. Remember what I talked about last week when I talked about this Johari window. So that as God is revealing to me the unknown that becomes my hidden space, that because I'm in relationship with you, it becomes my public space. So that God, as God reveals to you those things about me that I don't know myself, that are my blind spot, because I am in relationship with you in faithful biblical community, we are believers together, it becomes my public face, that I help you and you help me, because ultimately I want to be as excited for you as you are for me, to do what God has called us all to do. So let's go to the takeaways. For those who are guests this morning, at the end of every message, I try to put it all together in a couple of slides. And if you didn't get anything else, I hope you walk away with these things. Takeaways. One, we should embrace the excitement of something new and keep the path ahead in sight. 3 points we highlighted this morning. First one, the promises of fulfillment make the cusp an exciting time. I don't know who typed that, might be me. Number two, the cusp is not the end. And number three, after the excitement, do the work. So what does that work, or what can that work look like for us this week? Here go some calls to action, some things you can do this week. If you want to start today, and I pray that you do, commit to daily improving your personal relationship with God. How? We just said, I encourage everybody to get these in your life. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure I know what those are. We spent some time on Wednesdays going over them in detail. I would commend a book to you all, The Celebration of Disciplines by Richard Foster. Gives very good explanation and then some action about these and the other classical spiritual disciplines. We may deal with them at some point on Sunday morning, but God has not revealed that to me yet. So then I ask this question, and we will go down from this place. Do you want to dig deeper? So if, as we've been talking about, discovering your personal do, your personal be, your personal go, talking about your personal calling, you're like, that all really does put something in me that burns to know more about myself. If you want to go deeper, we are putting together an opportunity for us to do that. So next week, you'll see a slide and a call for an information session for what we are going to right now call a calling lab, where we will together in faithful biblical community in a smaller setting get to work with each other and some other resources to help those who may want to find or hone in, dial in a bit more on their personal be, do, and go. We're going to be doing that in some smaller group settings. And so next week during Harvest Connections, and probably before next week, this week in Realm, you'll see an invitation to join what will be on a Sunday morning after church, an information session for the Harvest Calling Lab. So if you want more information and you're interested in digging a bit deeper, make sure that you spend some time with us when that comes here. Amen. Let's bow our heads.